All right. Well, welcome back to the Full Grim Podcast. I am your host, Nicholas Green, and this is my podcast. I have a very, very special guest joining me today. So let's just get into it without any further ado. It's Kent Hill.
Why do you always have to be so violent, Kent?
It's all the working out I do.
It's all the constant working out you do?
I started eating meat again too, so you know what that does to you.
Oh yeah. What kind of meat? Red meat? Steaks?
I only do a quarter pound of red meat per day. The rest is chicken.
Prison food?
I mean, it's a pretty high class prison at this point. I mean, if you get all that protein and stuff, man. Dude, check this out. 1 week ago, I went to the hormone doctor where I get my injections, right?
Testosterone injections, right?
Oh, testosterone. Yeah, not estrogen, right?
Right.
So, they have this machine that you stand on, you put your hands on, and it sends electrical impulses through your body, tells you your muscle mass. Whoa. And your fat percentage, body fat percentage, and all that stuff, right? So I did it last week. The only change I made, I've been working out the same volume and intensity and everything. Only change that I made was I started eating a quarter pound of ground red meat in the morning, either bison or lean ground beef, with two eggs. But I've already been doing eggs, right? And then also I eat chicken. I eat a pound of chicken thigh every day. And I gained, literally, I lost a pound of fat, pound of visceral fat, and I gained 2 pounds of muscle in 1 week.
What? That's crazy.
Just from changing my diet.
But I mean, you work out a lot.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're the only person I've ever known in my life that is so in tune with their body. Like, you notice when you lose muscle mass in a certain spot, or like on your arms, you go, oh yeah, I lost a little bit of muscle mass on my arms, but don't worry, because I can just eat a rabbit and then do that.
Well, it's trial and error, you know? And this is kind of new to me. I've only been really working out and focusing for 2 years, you know? So it's trial and error throughout that process or whatever. And seems to be going good, you know, one day at a time, whatever. But yeah, what I did was I started upping it because I went to I enrolled in a physical therapist 2 years ago to fix my posture. I was kind of slouchy. That's what,
like me.
That was my only complaint, really. Yeah, slouchy. Just a little bit slouchy, right? So that was my complaint. And that's why I went in there and I was like, and built some muscle, whatever, you know?
Yeah.
They're like, first, we got to fix your movement patterns, right? And so then we just did all these exercises. They're like really dumb exercises at the beginning.
Sure.
You know,
sure,
boring,
sure,
whatever. And then it just kept building up. And as time went on, he kept pushing me harder and harder, my physical therapist. And now he's just like a relentless, ruthless personal trainer. I still have the habit of calling it going to physical therapy, but it's just the most brutal military style. He doesn't yell at me or anything. I'm a willing participant.
Right.
But the stuff that he asks me to do is just way beyond what I ever would imagine was possible for my body to do. So,
or like what you would have done on your own. On your own, you probably wouldn't have, you know.
Dude, would you literally take an open flame to your arm on your own?
Because that's the level of pain.
No, but that's the level of pain that your body's going through when you're doing these exercises. Dude, today, there's this thing called an assault bike, right?
Assault bike?
Yep, assault bike. And it's not just a clever name. Like, this is the most fucked up thing ever invented for exercising.
I want to know about it. I have to know about the assault bike.
Okay, instead of a wheel on the front, right, it's a fan blade with the fan blades not going with the air, but against the air.
Against the air, yeah. I've seen that.
They're like paddles. Like, if this thing floated, it would propel you through the water.
Sure.
You know,
sure,
right?
Sure.
And so it has pedals, but also arm holds on it, hand holds that you move back and forth. And so you have to use your upper body and lower body in unison. And it just has a wattage output on it. Yeah, exactly. It has a wattage output and it has calories burned. Right. And so the first time that I used it was just last week. I think I told you about it. And yeah. So this thing, he's like, we're just going to go to 15 calories with a sprint. So sprint means maximum effort.
Maximum effort, short amount of time. How long of a sprint is it to burn 15 calories?
About 25 seconds, I would say. But like the problem, what he explained, yeah, it sounds fine. Oh, that sounds easy.
I feel like I could do that right now.
That's it's such a treacherous machine because it's
treacherous. It's,
it tricks you into thinking 15 calories. That's like a stick of gum.
Right.
Who cares?
Yeah, easy.
Easy stick of gum. I mean, I chew gum. I probably use 10 calories, 15 calories. Dude, it's the most intense feeling in the world, right? But it's not just like one time. You do it one time and your legs stop working after 20 seconds. And then you look down and you're only at 12 calories and you got to keep going. And you're forcing your body. You're trying to force your body and your body won't move anymore. It's like, and what he explained to me is that you have ATP is what allows your muscles to work. It's a chemical inside your body, right?
Okay.
And so an anaerobic levels of anaerobic ATP production means that you don't need oxygen for it. So they can work instantly, fast, rapid response, but you only have a very limited amount of it. And so within about 15 to 20 seconds, if you're at maximum effort, regardless of your personal conditioning or shape or whatever, that's gone.
Just
and then
gone.
You're fucked. You can't move. You can't move anymore. Yeah, and so basically you are using all of your ATP reserves in your muscles, and then the rebound is pretty quick. It takes like a minute or something to fully rebound. So it's trying its best to produce as much ATP as possible so you can still like move. But it feels like, have you ever been in a dream, you try to punch somebody and it's just like, no!
Yeah. Or you try, there's been dreams where I've tried to like run, but you can't, your legs are like, bleh, and you can't even do
after
anything.
After 15 seconds of the sprint, it feels like you're trying to run in a dream, but you're also simultaneously dying, like hardcore. It can't catch your breath, heart beating at maximum rate.
Why does it have wattage on it? What is that? What does that serve? You said it has wattage.
It just tells you
how much
power you're putting
like
out.
Like how much energy you're generating?
Right. And so the first time he just had me do sprints, he said, try to stay... or just go to your maximum. And if I drop down at all, he's like, push it harder. And I'm like, okay.
Oh, my God.
But, like, this time he's had me do 1 minute, not sprints, but it's, like, 500 watts. And so, like, if you hit an RDA at 500 watts, it would burn.
Yeah.
Cotton would just catch on fire, you know?
Yeah.
So it's basically, like, my cotton was on fire for a full minute.
Is this normal to be pushing your human body like this? Like, is this healthy? Like, in 10 years from now, is your personal trainer going to go, oh, your legs don't work anymore? Well, you know, that's just a side effect of burning off all your wattage ARPs in your muscles.
That's the whole reason why I'm going to a physical therapist to do this stuff. Because he's not going to ask me to do anything that's going to mess up my joints or put too much strain on my back or anything like that. And if my form starts to falter and he sees that I'm getting into a position that's compromising for some of those more delicate areas, not my dick, I mean like, you know, my joints or something like that. Then he says, okay, stop, you know, back off. And he tells me to stop before my form. So I'm doing all this stuff with close to perfect form.
Right. That's really good. See, that makes me feel a little bit better. I feel like you're just running yourself
just like
through the fucking
abusing
ringer.
Myself.
Yeah.
I no, feel like but you're the, just abusing the thing yourself. Is, though, Nick, right now I feel so good, like crazy good. Like after that assault bike, that's the first time that I felt that runner's high they talk about.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like it's an actual euphoric feeling.
Mm-hmm.
It lasts about 24 hours.
So you'll feel good all the way through Thursday. I mean, you'll feel good through the next day.
Yeah, through the next day. And about evening time is when I started just feeling normal again. And then Friday, I have another session. I'm doing this 3 times a week.
Oh, because you're addicted to the runner's high, aren't you? That's what got you, that's what you're addicted to.
No, I was just tired of half-assing my workouts, you know? And so I was like, okay, we're going to bump this. I used to do it once a week. And then and I didn't do it for a long time during the quarantine. And then I decided, okay, then I got back into once a week and it really sucked coming back. And then I was like, okay, let's do twice a week. And then I had this in my idea. I want to do three times a week. So I did twice a week for 3 or 4 weeks. And then I did three times a week. And now I've scheduled out for the rest of the year, three times a week, because this is only my second week doing it three times a week. But my recovery so far is good. As long as I got my diet in order now, I eat meat. I eat a lot. I eat a lot of food, dude.
You like mix any junk food in there? Because I have a very vivid memory of being in your basement on a Twisted Sunday stream at like 8 in the morning, attempting to eat like a 1 pound Reese's peanut butter cup, and you just plowed right through it.
Half pound. Yeah.
Still.
Yeah, but also I was pretty overweight at that time. If I look back at those pictures, I'm like, wow, dude, my face was like all puffy and stuff.
That was only a year ago. Wasn't that just like a year ago?
1 year, yeah. I mean, a lot changes in a year, Nick.
Oh, no, I know.
I mean, the entire world is shut down right now.
But you don't Except look any podcast. Different to me. You just look like Twisted Messes. You just look like Kent.
You're wrong, dude. You're wrong? I know, because, well, the thing is, you see, I look like myself to me, too. Because we talk all the time with video calls. Do you know what I mean?
Right, right. I do see you every day almost.
So you see me every day. It's like me looking in the mirror every day. I don't notice a big difference unless I look back in time. Let me show you, Nick.
I want to see
you. Let me show you here. We are on a video call. Let me show you 2 years ago, almost exactly. I was in Indonesia.
This is when you were pounding half-pound Reese cups like every other day. Sometimes
no, this
every
is before
day.
That. Before that period, right? Here it is. No, this is right before I started working out.
Okay, turn your brightness down. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Wow. Okay. Yeah, I see a huge difference, an insane
drastic difference.
Drastic.
Yeah, like a different person.
Yeah, like a different person. Your body is completely changed.
Yeah, it's crazy. Within 2 years. Right. And so it's a slow process, you know, because like when you start trying to get in shape, it's kind of discouraging because nothing really happens.
No.
And especially if you're looking at yourself every day, you don't notice.
No,
you know,
not at all.
And so it feels like you're just like torturing yourself for no reason.
Yeah.
But then
stupid.
If you do it long enough.
Yeah. Gains.
Look back and you're like, holy shit, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I mean, even just looking at your arms in that picture, you have like normal, like they look like my arms, just normal, whatever arms. But
I
now
think they're smaller than your arms.
You
dude.
Have
I wasn't even
Herculean,
doing push-ups.
Herculean arms, gigantic arms, like vascular, huge arms. Yeah. So you're doing this just to what? Compete with Dwayne? I don't know. What are you doing it for? Just to get in shape?
No, dude. Dwayne's out of the game. He's injured.
Well,
that's not nice. I'm not going to compete with Dwayne while he's like injured and hasn't worked out for a while. That's fucked up.
No, I'm not saying. I'm not saying like compete with Dwayne, but you just want to.
That's exactly what you said.
Yeah, I said challenge Dwayne. Yeah, challenge Dwayne to like a deadlift competition, so he has to use his back.
Well, no, at first. It was just to fix my posture. Basically, dude, I was 36 years old or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, if I don't do anything, I'm going to be, you know, this hunched over 75-year-old who can barely walk. And
right.
I don't want to be like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I wanted to do some proactive steps to at least be able to move throughout the rest of my life. And then it's just kind of slowly, gradually increased to just enjoying the challenge of it, you know? And like right now, my cardiovascular condition, I have not been this active or able to exert myself cardiovascularly since high school, since I was in like track and field in high school.
Oh yeah.
To this point. And so that's also just, it's just fucking good for your body, dude. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, look, I get it. That's why I have a bike. I try to ride my bike like a few times a week, get my heart pumping again. I went to a cardiologist and learned that I had high blood pressure and that I need to have cardiovascular exercises a few times a week. I don't want to die. I don't want to be the hunched over guy either. You just get, I think you, like you said, you get to a certain age, like in your mid-30s, and something changes in your head. Like something changes mentally where you go, oh, I'm getting old, and you start like feeling your age a little bit.
Yeah. And I don't know. I don't know what, I guess that's it. And like, I've always had these ideas. It's just, I got like super obsessed with the business. I mean, in my late 20s, I kind of got in shape. I worked out for a few months kind of thing.
Yeah.
I got a little bit bulked up and stuff, but I wasn't doing it properly. I was injuring myself all the time, just like, I'm just going to work out and keep working out, you know?
That's what I've been doing.
I just didn't do it properly. And so this time, and then again, when I was about, 34, I tried getting in shape again as well. And then I injured myself all over the place because I wasn't doing it properly. And so this time I just decided I'm going to go to physical therapist, fix the underlying issues, and then I'm not going to have to stop because of injury. And that, so far that's been the case. So luckily my plans worked.
Yeah. Does your physical therapist know that you vaped? Has he mentioned like vaping or nicotine or the effect that has on you?
He hasn't mentioned it at all. I told him I vape. Yeah. He knows I own a vaping company.
Oh, okay.
I vape my face off.
Did you vape your face off? Does he let you vape while you're on the, what did you call it? The executioner bike?
Finish him. No, but the, no, I don't vape in there. I don't feel like vaping. When you're that out of breath, dude, all you want to do is breathe air. And I have to wear a mask because of the coronavirus.
So oh, like, yeah. Wait, so you have to do executioner bike with a face mask on? Oh,
yeah,
fuck
dude.
That.
And I used to wear N95s too. But the problem with those is once they get wet with your sweat, it's literally like getting waterboarded when you're out of breath. Like you cannot fucking breathe, dude.
You can't breathe. So it feels like you're drowning.
Literally, yes. And so the first time that happened, I had to leave the building, take my mask off, and gasp for breath for a while. Come back in, I'm like, give me a different mask. And they had others. They had the surgical ones that are way easier to breathe in. So.
That sounds horrible. I mean, that sounds, look, don't get me wrong. It sounds like it's worth it, and it sounds like it's working for you. Don't you miss eating like, oh, you have a cheat day of food, though.
Yeah, but now, dude, right now?
You don't like
I
it.
I was doing, like, what I was eating was prison food. Remember when I was eating the prison food, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was eating, like, spinach, peas, beans, rice, and eggs, and that's it. Yeah. And I was doing this kind of level of exercise. Right. And that was not and protein powder. And that was not enough calories. I felt like shit. I was doing one cheat meal a week. And the crazy thing is that I gained fat and lost muscle during that time period, even though I was working out so much. And so now all I have now is I basically have a slow cooker. I put in 3 pounds of chicken thigh. I put in a bunch of whatever random vegetables, spices, whatever I want in there. It always tastes good. And then I put in 3.5 cups of dry rice or whatever, but I cook it first. That's just how I measure it.
Sure.
And then that's food for two and a half days. It's about like 4,000, 5,000 calories. Plus, if I feel like I need it, I eat fucking ice cream sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, whatever, dude.
Fucking ice cream.
Not
sometimes.
Whatever. Like that's, I eat those for my meals. I have breakfast, quarter pound of ground red meat with 2 or 3 eggs with some of that.
Fucking huge breakfast. I can't even bring myself to eat food before like noon.
Yeah, you know what's crazy though?
I can't.
Is
do
that
it.
My the calorie count in that with 2 eggs, that's 140 calories. A quarter pound of lean ground beef is 170 calories. That's not that many calories. And then plus like a couple scoops of whatever, I do about 400 calories in the morning with coffee. That's not that much, dude. It is
like
a hearty breakfast. It's a large amount of food, but as far as the calorie count, it's not that high. That's what's so crazy is when you make your own food and you don't put a whole bunch of crazy shit in there, like no sour cream or fucking cheese or anything, like the calorie, you can eat a lot of food, dude. I'm very full all day and I'm staying at like about 3,000 calories a day.
You're just fucking working out on the executioner bike.
Well, my basal metabolic rate's 2,000 something calories. If I literally laid in bed all day, it would use 2,000 calories.
Nobody knows what a basal metabolic rate is. I don't even know what that is.
That means that you're doing nothing, your body just existing, that It's how many calories it uses.
Oh, just existing?
Just existing.
I gotta imagine mine's pretty low. I'm guessing like 50.
No, most people, it's probably like 1,200, dude. 12 to 1,500, I would assume.
Huh. That just hurts my brain to think about that. I don't want to think about that. And I don't want to, but
all right.
A physical therapist, though. So, Jules, the girl that married us, her wife, Kaylee, is a personal trainer, and Jules is a physical therapist. And they came up here to hang out with us. And I asked Kaylee, I said, watch me do curls, watch me do push-ups. Like, is my form right? Am I doing this right? And she's like, here's what I would do. Change this, this, and this, and plant your feet like this. And when you do a curl, set your shoulders and like this. And as soon as I started doing that, I noticed that, oh, like my side doesn't hurt when I do curls now. Like this muscle here isn't compensating for my form. And then when I'm done working out, I feel the muscles that I actually worked out are sore and not pain in other places like my shoulder that's compensating for it. It's a really helpful thing.
Yeah. And the shoulders, dude, and hips, like it's just crazy what the body will do to just do a movement, even though it's just like not using the proper muscles or ligaments or anything.
Right. Your body's just like you can go through the motion, like get it done. And here's how we're going to do it. And it's the wrong way.
It's not the most efficient way. Yeah. So yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's pretty trippy. And the more it's been so cool though, dude, because I never realized that I didn't know how the fuck my body worked at all. I had no idea.
Yeah. See, I learned stuff every time talking to you about shoulder, and you're explaining like, your shoulder is literally just like this thing. And you're like explaining the whole like musculature of how it works. And it's just blowing my mind. I'm like, I've never thought about my shoulder ever.
Yeah, dude. I mean, if you start looking at those body diagrams with no skin on them,
Yeah.
And you look at how it's connected, you start freaking out a little bit. You're like, there's pretty much nothing holding this shoulder on. Like, there's not much there. There's no meat. It's just like kind of dangling from the shoulder blade. That's really fucking kind of creepy.
Yeah. No, I get it. Well, damn, Kent, getting huge. You're getting huge, and you're still vaping like crazy.
Yeah, dude. Vaping's fine, whatever.
I know. Look, vaping's practically benign. I get it. You just can't say that.
I just did. Well, you did.
I did. I mean,
I'm not going to make any scientific claims, but I'm going to agree with yours.
What's next? I mean, what's next? Like, we're caught up with Kent and his ridiculous workout routine.
Right.
What's on the horizon for Twisted Messes? How are you weathering a PMTA storm? Are you doing anything about it?
No, I'm technically not a manufacturer. I don't manufacture anything myself.
All right.
I don't know how much I probably shouldn't say anything. My lawyers would get mad at me.
Share as much as you're comfortable sharing. Which I would encourage you to share everything, but I don't want you to get in trouble with your lawyers or anything like that.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how much I can really say, but like basically I registered as a manufacturer just to be on the safe side. Turns out I wasn't a manufacturer. Talked to the FDA. My lawyers talked directly to the FDA. The FDA agreed that I'm not a manufacturer. So I'm not doing any PMTAs because I don't make any of my own products.
Okay.
I design them, have them made by other people. Labeling, everything is done offsite. All I do is sell them.
Not even your... Oh, well, you don't have any liquids in the United States. All you have is the Twisted Sunday in Indonesia.
Liquids I stopped in 2016 because of all the laws that changed. My lawyer suggested, they said, liquid is a lot different than hardware.
Yeah.
I wouldn't recommend that you continue selling it. They're like, is your liquid making money? I said, no, it's not very good. And they said, okay, well, I would just drop it. And I said, okay.
It's not very good. That's easy. Cone fused wasn't killing it.
Honestly, Nick, you never even tried my liquids. There was only one bad flavor in there. You never tried them.
I tried one of them. Nope, I think I tried never. Cone fused.
You literally said to me, you literally said to me, your juice is horrible. And then I found out months later, I found out months later that you had never tried it. And I was like, why did you say your juice is horrible when you haven't even tasted it?
I tried one of
you
them.
You literally.
Maybe I tried the bad one.
It was really good. The Polarity was horrible. Like, okay. So bad. But if it had been completely up to me, I would have just released that apple flavor to start. One flavor. But the people who I was working with, the manufacturer.
Who is manufacturing it? Can you say who is manufacturing it?
Yeah, of course. E-Pure. It's the vape shop that I worked for, KC Vapes, right? That I was managing all those locations for them.
Right.
They had also they started a liquid lab. And that he went all out on that shit. He was preparing for PMTAs from the very start. He had that chemists and all kinds of shit in there. But but he wanted to do three flavors, right? And so he's pushing. He's like, we need to release it now. He thought, like, you're twisted mess. You can just sell whatever. And I'm like, nah, dude. That's not probably how it's going to work.
That's not how
dude.
It works.
It has to be good, you know? And I was super pleased, dude, with the Confused. And also I was super pleased with the Sub-Ohm Apple. I used to make fun of the names too, but dude, it's a liquid line. Who cares?
Yeah, names don't matter.
But the I wanted to do a tea flavor. I really wanted like a good tea, right?
Tea. Like an iced tea.
Like
a sweet tea.
Yeah.
Like a sweet iced tea.
No, like a jasmine tea. Like some sort of you know, like Chinese tea kind of thing, right?
Sure, sure.
And so we were doing this flavor. And I was asking everybody, does this smell weird? Does it have a weird smell or anything? Because it had kind of funky flavor, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, nah, it smells fine. There's no smell. What do it. We even asked his wife, who doesn't vape and is very sensitive to smells, does this smell bad or anything? No, it smells great. Yeah, everything's fine. So we rush. He's like wanting to release it. So we rush it out. And then this tea literally smells your whole house up, dude. Like, it smelled like you had a rodent cage somewhere in your house.
Oh, like hamster, like gerbil, like a cage. Yes. Oh yeah, I know that smell.
Like a cage.
Yes.
Exactly what it smelled like. It didn't taste good, and it was so throaty you couldn't vape it, dude. That was the one thing.
Like that.
Yeah, and that was what killed the line. Because you just need one bad flavor, and you know what everybody's gonna focus on? Is that fucking flavor. In the reviews, you're not going to review a juice that's pretty good.
Yeah. You know? Did anybody review your line?
On my website, yeah. Absolutely. People reviewed it who didn't even try it. Probably you.
No. Oh, but yeah. There's video. Why didn't you ever let me try it then?
You said it was terrible. I thought you had tried it.
Ruby Roo reviewed your liquids. Ruby reviewed them.
Yeah, she doesn't tell the truth on her juice reviews for her friends, so.
E-liquid review.
Oh, my God. I don't even want to. Oh, dude, come on, man. Why are you bringing up this stuff? These are bad memories.
Bad memories.
Dude, I couldn't handle the heat, to be honest with you. Those bad reviews. I should have deleted the ones from people who didn't buy it. You know, but I didn't.
Right.
I just left them up there and let them ruin my day for months. I would go back there. I'll go back and look at these reviews, you know, every day. Just be like, oh, I failed so bad. This is the worst liquid line that's ever been released.
Would there be any good reviews to like make up for it? Like someone would go, I actually really like the Confused. And you'd go, oh, okay. I guess it's not that bad.
No, dude, everyone liked Confused and Sub-Ohm Apple. Literally did not get one bad review on any of those. People loved them. People still to this day hit me up and be like, dude, where can I get a bottle of Confused? I'm like, dude, it's not made anymore. Polarity destroyed that line.
Polarity. All it took was one liquid. One liquid. Damn.
It's true. Well, the shop orders all three. One of them is so bad it's never going to sell and they're stuck with all those bottles. They're not going to reorder the other ones.
No, they're not. Why didn't you just drop it from the line and just keep selling the other two and say, sorry, we'll replace all your Polarity with either Confused or Sub-Ohm Apple or a combination of both.
If it was my company that was making it, absolutely, I would have done that. I would never have released that in the first place because after it steeped, it got worse, you know. It was like
worse. It tasted.
It was like
it get worse. It's already a hamster cage.
Well, no, it wasn't a hamster cage until it steeped. Like that's what happened, dude. It was literally okay, and then it steeped and became really bad.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. That it didn't work out. So yeah, moral of the story is 2016. I dropped my liquid line. Hardware and wire.
You don't think there's anywhere that has any like leftover Twisted Messes liquid somewhere that you could buy?
He sold all his vape shops, all KC Vapes, to some other company. I went in there and they're like, "We got all this juice left over from there from when we took over the shop, and I still have one bottle of Sub-Ohm Apple. It's like, it's nearly black. It's so dark."
So, is there any chance that you can like get or buy the recipes from it? Because that's what happened. Well, it's just to release like to the DIY community. Because that's what I was trying to do with Namber Juice when I was going through, you know, my fucking horrible experience with dissolving Namber Juice and attempting to buy. I wanted to buy the recipes from my ex-business partner, and he just refused. He just refused. I said, "I want 3 or 4 flavors max, and I just want the recipes, and I'll just buy the recipes." And then I was just going to buy them and just either do it as like Liquid Barn, like one shots, or just release the recipes and just say, "Here's a few Namber juices that I could buy, DIY them to your heart's content." I think it would have made people happy. So if you could buy those recipes, you could make confused people happy.
It's some bad memories for me, dude. Like, okay. If it was like yours with a Yig, where you're like, "I loved Yig so much. This is a soft place in my heart. It's warm, fuzzy when I think about it." Then I'd probably be like, "Fuck yeah, dude. Let's go get all that shit. Polarity, too. Who cares?" You know?
Hamster. Rename it. Rename it gerbil cage.
Ferret cages.
Gerbil enclosure. What? No, it's just polarity.
Yeah, you'll find out soon enough.
Yeah, you'll know when you taste it. It tastes like a hamster cage. Polarity, though, that is a great liquid name. Polarity, God, that's so clever,
oh,
man.
You suddenly like it now?
No, no. I'm just saying that name is a very clever name.
Oh yeah, I mean, you've criticized it in the past. So it's funny how you flip flop on things, you know.
I didn't ever criticize polarity.
Oh, you didn't? How about Sub-Ohm Apple? You remember criticizing that?
No.
Oh, how about
I Cronus? Don't
remember criticizing that? You fucking made fun of my juice line. You never tried it. I don't know why you're so mean.
When was like, this? No, I think you're accusing me of things because you know I have a bad memory.
2015. No, dude. The problem is I have a really good memory. You have a really bad memory.
Yes,
that's
I do.
The only problem here. There's a slight mismatch here. Yeah. Dude, you know, I know a lot of people like this. Don't worry. I have this problem all the time. I'm like, "Hey, do you remember the time you said this? Blah, blah, blah." I'm still resentful for it. And they're like, "I would never say something like that." Yeah. I would literally never say that.
I don't ever remember talking to you about your liquids, like ever. Ever. Don't remember.
Because
it.
We weren't having a conversation about it. That's how dismissive you were about it. It was like in passing. "Oh, your liquids are terrible."
I'm like, why would I say that
exactly? Why would you say that? That's fucked up. I don't even know why you would say that.
That is, you know? Fucked
can't
up.
Can't say something nice, Nick.
Yeah, shit. Well, look,
it's okay. I mean, I already knew it was, and they were terrible, okay, because I had the reviews to prove it.
I know, but that was just like I was just like rubbing salt in the wound.
You had nothing better to do.
I don't know why I would do that. I apologize. I don't remember doing that. I don't remember saying that. It was a different time.
I don't even blame you.
I was drinking a lot back then. I was an angry drinker guy back then, you know.
Well, you weren't angry drunk, but the thing is, like, people live unconsciously all day long. Like, the majority of the world is living just running on autopilot, and they say things that it's not like them, like, intentionally being like, "All right, let me think this over. What am I going to say? Your liquids are terrible." No, you wouldn't do that. You know, like that would make you a bad person. like a fucking asshole, right? You're right. Not, you know, you just, it's just like some unconscious thing. You felt like saying it. You thought of it. You said it out loud. I don't blame you for that, dude. Like,
right.
How much control do people really have over their, or their whatever motivations?
If I just walked up to you and said, Kent, your liquids are terrible. Just out of the blue, no context or anything. Is that what happened?
No, we were like talking. My liquids came up somehow. And you said, your liquids are terrible. And I said, oh, all right. Next subject. Yeah. I guess we'll stop talking about that.
Well, here's the thing. Sometimes what I used to have the bad habit of doing was just repeating what I had heard other people say. So someone told me, oh yeah, I tried Kent's liquids and they were terrible. Then that's all that sticks in my head is Kent's liquids are terrible.
Right. You didn't even try it yourself.
I didn't even try it myself. The thing is, like,
you have such a strange palate that I doubt you would have liked it anyway. So
I do have a strange palate, but I like weird. Like, have you tried Poet's Sweet Black Tea?
Never.
I'm going to send you a bottle. Probably good. It's great. It's spectacular.
Dude, I've had good tea since then. There's this one by JRX.
Flavor.
There's a JRX in Indonesia flavor that is it's like a jasmine milk tea. It's fucking so good. But you know,
that sounds amazing.
It's so good. It's so well balanced. It's just a perfect liquid. But like Jazzy Boba, I do not like.
Oh, I kind of like Jazzy Boba. I like Jazzy Boba. I like Dewy or the mango, whatever the Dewy honeydew is.
Dude, the whatever Dewy boba is pretty good.
I like Dewy boba.
I'm a sucker for honeydew, dude. You put that in anything, I'm going to like it.
You like honeydew liquid? Like you really? Wow.
I love it.
That's weird. I've never.
Something about that artificial honeydew flavor is just
really
it
does it
so
for
good
you. Really gets you going. I've never had, apart from like Dewy boba, I've never really had a good honeydew. Because honeydew, you've probably heard me say this before, but honeydew always tastes like plastic Halloween mask. Like the inside
of
like a plastic Halloween mask.
That's what Jazzy Boba tastes like to me. Like plastic. That's what I don't like. Plastic and perfume.
Plastic and perfume.
The Jazzy Boba, to me, for some reason, it hits me like that. That's why I don't like it.
Why are Indonesian liquids so good?
Because they're not afraid to make them differently.
I had a mango that was like, I wish I kept the bottle, but it was one of the best. It wasn't like Dwayne's mango where it's like, no. Oh, is that it? No, that's not it. It was in a black bottle and it was mango and it was really, you know, it was an Indonesian liquid. So it had a ton of like culotta menthol in it. Maybe not menthol, but culotta.
Are you sure this isn't it?
I'm pretty sure that isn't it. It was in a black bottle.
With a
black label.
Mango is really, this one's really good, but it's such a strong culotta, it literally will give you a brain freeze from a dripper.
Yeah, that's the way that's the way that sapua is.
Ridiculous. I've never had that before. I vaped
punishing.
It. First one I'm like, whoa,
punishing.
That's cold.
Yeah.
Second one I'm like, oh wow, still cold. Third hit off of a dripper, dude. I literally got the worst ice cream headache of my life.
Yeah.
I was like, how is this possible? This isn't physically cold.
It's your senses, man. It's the trigeminal senses. That happened to me with the sapua. Yeah. I tasted it in a vlog because Beecher came back from Indonesia with a bunch of liquids and sent them to me. And one of them was the mango that I loved. But the other one was that sapua. And it's like, the label's so cool. It's like exploding fruit on it. I'm like, I cannot wait to try this. And it was the same thing. Like three drags in, I couldn't, like my head hurt. It was crazy.
It's literally like you chugged a milkshake.
Yeah, it's exactly what
that
it's like.
That kind of pain.
It was that level of coldness.
But then I look closer at this label. It has a little thermometer on the back.
Mm-hmm.
See that? And at the bottom of it, it says, brain freeze.
Oh, they warn
that's
you.
Where it is down to the brain freeze level. I'm like, oh, they're doing that on purpose.
Holy shit. But they just love menthol. They just love culotta in Indonesia, I think.
It never drops below 85 degrees there. I think that's probably why.
It never does?
It's literally, it's a tropical climate. It's between 85 and 95 year-round.
Fantastic.
The only difference in the seasons is it's raining. No, it's humid. It's like 100% humidity. It's not amazing. It's horrible.
I see. I feel like
because you get cold so easily. So glad I can't smell that.
Did you hear it though? I wonder if it'll show up. I wonder if it'll show up on the podcast or not.
If I heard it, of course it will. No, it was just muffled.
Maybe the microphone won't pick it up. I can use the trombone sounds and trombone it out. I've just had like a lot of gas because Casey's been making
nothing but chili.
Chili. She makes homemade chili, and it's like a lot of black beans and garbanzo beans and quinoa.
So it's garbanzos.
What else is in it? It just gives me gas like crazy.
Yeah, so it's garbanzos. You should switch to only black beans. You get less gas.
Really?
Oh, trust me. I ate them for 6 or 7 months straight.
Just garbanzo beans?
Yeah, I tried kidney. I tried all the other ones, dude. Horrible. Worst gas of my life. I can't believe that people eat those on the regular. Because I was like, there's no way you could have a social interaction with anybody in your life.
Dude, I have to hold in farts during my live streams. Like during a Tuesday Bro Tuesday or a vlog, I'm literally just holding in farts. And at the end, when I'm done streaming, I just lean over, you know, and it's like just a symphony of flatulence. It's crazy.
And it smells really bad too. That's the problem. Like, but if you go black beans only, it reduces the gas by like 80%, like so much.
Really? Why is black bean? It's garbanzo. I thought it was the black beans giving me the damn gas.
Nope. No, it's those garbanzos. Have you ever eaten a bunch of hummus, dude? Definitely gassy. Garbanzo, dog.
Shit. I just didn't put two and two together. That's fine. I don't need to edit that out. Garbanzo beans
fuck
make
it,
you
dude.
Gassy. Yeah, fuck it. Leave it in. Leave all the bodily functions in.
Yeah, dude. It's twisted messes on the fucking podcast or whatever, you know? Just let it all fly. I'm just not in the same room with you. It's awesome.
Yeah, no, you don't need to hear any farts. How do you feel about becoming a meme, more or less, on my vlog? I use you for my hydro homies now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I use that Marco Polo video that you sent me where you're chugging water and you go, God, I love water. Stay hydrated, hydro homies. And then you're like, you should use that as a clip. And then it like cuts off. And I play that when I hydrate myself on the vlog now.
I like that.
Yeah.
I'm glad that I was able to take that little snippet of reality and put it into the brains of the masses. I appreciate it.
Yeah, that's how people are going to know you. Someone said you sound like Clint Eastwood when you say hydro homies. Hydro homies. Well,
I could never reproduce that hydro homies, you know?
You couldn't.
Like that was so spur of the moment. You know, we just caught it. We just happened to catch it.
Lightning in a bottle. Lightning in a bottle. Lightning in. What's that other liquid that you keep talking about that I need to try? Oat drips?
Oat drips. I'll send you the rest of my bottle.
You have some?
Yeah, I never finished it. It's a coil killer, so like I'll use it for like 3 or 4 days and it's just gunked beyond compare. I'm too lazy to rewick. So then I'll rewick it like, you know, I'll be like, "Oh, let's get that oat drips out." And I'll rewick it. And then 3 or 4 days, boom, dead. So I'll send it to you. That's the first batch, so it's really steeped. I bought it from Malaysia, so they must have just bought the first batch and then not sold through it.
Yeah,
and everybody, whenever I post a picture of it on Instagram, all these Indonesians are like, "Oh, that's the first batch. It's the best batch." They can recognize that it's the first batch. Yeah.
Wow.
So I have like a limited bottle. I'll send it to you.
So I really want to try it. 3 milligram or 6?
It's 6, but it's Indonesian 6, so it's not that strong.
What does that mean, Indonesian 6?
It means it's actually like a 4.5 or a 5.
That doesn't make any sense. Why would they do that?
Because 6 is too harsh. Yeah, so their 3s aren't real 3s either. 3s are like 2s or 2.5s.
What? Why did they label it 3 then?
Exactly. I don't know, dude. don't know. But like that's what's so crazy, because I go over there, I'm like, why are all these liquids like, it feels like I'm vaping air. Like there's zero throat hit. I'm like, and then I'm like, I'm vaping so much of it. I'm like, there's not enough nicotine in here. I know there's not. And then finally, one of the manufacturers spilled the beans and was like, oh yeah, no, we don't put all the nicotine in there. Like, oh, really?
No, no. Why would we do that? Why would we put all the nicotine in there?
That's too harsh. Yeah, no, that's why. But dude, you hear that from Indonesians all the time. They're like, oh, I can't vape American sixes. You know?
American sixes. Because it has the full harsh. Six. Yeah, the full 6 milligram.
Correctly. They're labeled correctly.
Holy shit. Wow, that's kind of amazing. I had no idea. Well, if I like that oat drips, you have to send me the link to buy it. I'm looking for more legacy liquids. Like, I'm bored of all of my liquids. Like, yeah. I don't even want to vape Pony on it. All I've been vaping is Own Boy's Mango. That's it.
You know what's weird, dude? Pony on Acid. Like, the last time I bought 3 bottles, and I don't really like it anymore.
Really? A taste change?
Yeah. Well, dude, what did it is when this fucking lockdown started, and I was like, dude, I could literally rebuild 9 RDAs right now and vape 9 flavors. That's what I did.
Yep.
So I got used to all this variety, and I just it seems like my tastes have changed dramatically. Like, I don't like the stuff that I used to like, and I can't just vape one liquid anymore. Yeah. I'm fucked, you know?
No, I get that. Yeah, I get that. I've been on like mango, strawberry something too, because I like that. I really like that flavor, but everything else has kind of been like, I've been wanting to vape this again, the Borgio.
Yeah, this stuff's good.
This stuff's really good, but it's the same thing. It's like only for like a day, and then I can't do it anymore.
Well, maybe it gunks up coils really quickly as well.
Ah, but it's so good.
So you didn't even try the mung bean oat drips then?
No, I have not tried any of the oat drips.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll send you the original oat drips. It's good, dude.
I want to try it. Yeah. Fuck yeah. We need someone to reverse engineer it and DIY it.
Fucking strawberry something I did not like, but then Mind Dream sent me a set of coils, and I like it a lot now.
Yeah.
Maybe I just needed a break or needed to let it steep up. I don't know.
Something. But I really like it. I liked it right out of the gate. I kind of liked it right out of the gate.
It wasn't bad, you know?
Yeah.
Right out of the gate. I didn't hate it or anything. It's just I wasn't going for it. But then with this new set, coils.
You know, liquids is one of those things that's like, it's so fucking subjective. And even depending on how you're vaping it will completely change the flavor and the wattage that you have and the coils that you have and everything, the airflow. It'll all change the flavor of the juice. Like I was telling you about that cherry limeade that I bought. That in a billet box is the greatest thing I've ever had, but in a dripper or an RTA or a sub tank, it just tastes like lemon peels. But in the boxer, it's amazing. It makes no sense.
Yeah. Well, it does though, because it's gonna
so good.
At certain concentrations, you know, if you could think about the vapor as coming through these different devices in different concentrations of liquid, so. Out of a billet box, you're getting a lot less flavor per cubic square inch or whatever.
Right.
You know? Whereas if you put in a dripper at a higher wattage, you're getting a shit ton more liquid per cubic square inch. And it's oversaturating the taste bud. So like it overdoes the lemon.
Yeah. I mean, that could be what's happening. I don't know about vapor per cubic square inch.
But do you know, dude, have you tried yet? Dragon Shake from Vinyl and Vapor out of a billet box. His high nick stuff, the 12 milligram.
No.
It's crazy, dude. Because I never really liked it out of a dripper very much. Like, nah, it's not bad.
Yeah.
Kind of like, it's not bad. Yeah, I would never like be like, oh, I'm going to drip Dragon Shake right now. It's going to be awesome. But I just tried it one day. He sent me like a little small bottle. I tried it and I was like, holy, it's a different liquid. It's a different flavor. It tastes like citrus.
See, that's the what happened. See, that's what happened to me with the Blueberry Hill. That's why I said it tasted clovey, out of a dripper because I tasted it out of a dripper. I tasted 3 milligram out of a dripper. But when I put the 12 milligram in a mouth to lung, like the Asvape Hitta, and vaped it 12 milligram Blueberry Hill, it was like a completely different liquid. It was like creamy blueberries. And it was amazing. Maybe that's just weird? Yeah, it is weird. It's really weird.
Yeah. But I'll send you a bottle of Dragon Shake as well.
Oh, you don't have to do that. I mean, I appreciate it. I want to try it.
I have. Maybe I have enough to do that. Maybe I don't have to do that.
Are you taking it back now? All right.
Well, I forgot I already agreed to send one to my other friend.
Oh, I see.
And I have three. So, I mean, I could technically give you one of my two left.
No, look, I don't want to put you out. I'll just go buy some from Eric. You know, we got to support small businesses right now.
That's what I did. He gave me the first bottle. First one's free, you know?
Yeah, you got to keep buying it. I'm going to re-up from Vinyl and Vapor. I'm going to re-up on, I need more Blueberry Hill. I need all the stuff. And that's the important thing, is to keep consistently buying from your favorite vendors and not like panic buying, because then they're going to have a big dip where you would normally be purchasing liquids regularly, and it's going to fuck with their business, especially right now.
It's mostly just fuck with their head.
It's mostly just to fuck with their head.
Yeah. They're like, what's wrong? What am I doing wrong? No, everybody just stocked up.
Yeah.
Dude, do you know what I'm actually the thing I'm most addicted from Eric's website, from violentvapor.com, is the fucking hand sanitizer. Those little spray bottles, dude.
Yeah, they're great.
I'm halfway through my second case of them. I use them so much.
Do you really? See, I keep one in my car, and that's it. And I just use it in and out of my car. Like whenever I go to the grocery store, I'll sanitize my hands right when I get back before I touch like the steering wheel or anything.
Yeah,
but I don't use it
me too.
That consistently. I mean, I took one with me to the rally.
I use it for my groceries too. My groceries, I spray them all down with that shit.
You spray your groceries down? You like all the packaging and stuff?
Yeah, of course.
Well, haven't you heard that? So have you heard this?
Don't care.
Have you heard this about COVID-19? The idea that wearing the mask, especially if you like wear the mask out in public and take it home and don't wash it and then put it on and wear it out again in public, like a fabric mask, that it's exposing you to really like micro doses of the COVID-19 virus, which will cause like an immune system reaction. So you'll build up antibodies for it so that you'll be more protected against it. They're saying that people that wear masks consistently out in public are more protected against COVID than people who've been sheltering in place and not being exposed to the outside world.
Yeah, because you get small doses of it.
You get small doses of it. You don't get any symptoms. You don't get sick, but it kicks your immune system into gear.
It's a natural vaccination.
Natural vaccination. It's interesting.
Yeah, that's how vaccines work, pretty much.
Well, look, I'm an anti-vaxxer, so I'm just kidding.
I'm not an anti-vaxxer, but I'm not going to be standing in line to take the first COVID vaccine either.
Of course not. Because they have to go through like years of trials. Like that's what normal vaccines do, is go through like years. It's not just something you can whip up.
Do you know what I think they should do instead of that, making a vaccine? What if they just focused on figuring out which genetic markers put you at risk of the serious complications? And then you go get a genetic test for that. And then if you don't have those genetic markers, then you can just carry on living your life. And the people with the genetic markers need to shelter in place and do all this shit.
Right. I mean, look, I don't work at the federal government, so I can't say why they have or haven't done that. But I'm assuming it's because it's the federal government.
Yeah, I don't know.
Seems like
I wouldn't
idea.
Want their jobs, but I think I would do a better job than them.
Yeah, I'm thinking about... I'm seriously considering Los Angeles City Council, like running for a political position on the Los Angeles City Council.
Really?
Yeah. 100% considering it.
Why?
I think I'm knowledgeable enough. I think I'm well-spoken enough. Apart from like the throat tattoo, I think I could do it. And I think we're progressive enough as a state that, look, there was bound to be a tattooed politician at some point, right? Why not?
Yeah. I'm just saying that's a really annoying job.
Well, not really. I feel like I could do some real good.
I think that's what most politicians believe when they start, you know, running for office. I'm not saying don't do it. Don't follow your dreams. But if you can't handle these rebuttals, then you're not going to be able to handle the pressure of running for office. So
handle that in mind. Well, you know, it's just an idea right now. It's an idea I've had for about a year, thinking about
a year. It's time to pull the trigger.
I've just been thinking about like all the shitty city council meetings that I've sat at where they're, you know, it's like flavor ban hearings one after the other. And I'm, you know, how do we initiate real change from the sidelines? The truth is it's easier to do it from the inside. And there's been a lot of vapors, you know, in certain areas of the country that have, there was a vape shop owner that was running for like, you know, Congress, not Congress, but like local Congress, state senator, I guess.
That's Congress. That's actual real Congress.
Right. Like state senator.
I mean, there's no federal senators. They're all state senator. That is okay. The real Congress.
Well, state senator. So I don't know. I think I could do it.
Dude.
I think I could do it.
I mean, it would be less work than what you're doing right now.
Do you think so? You think I could do both? You think I could maintain Groom Green and be a city councilor?
Absolutely not. That would be the most ridiculous thing you'd ever want. The fact that you want to do that or considering it is a red flag that you have a problem.
Why? What? It said I have a problem?
Dude, yeah, with the amount of videos that you do, with the amount of obligations that you agree to every week, you started a podcast now. I mean, with all of that shit, I mean, that's so much stuff to do. You never have a time when you're just sitting there.
No.
You know, except when you're watching Netflix or whatever. And that's just in the background. You're not even paying attention to that shit because you've all seen it all. You just rewatch shows, you know?
I know.
It's just background noise at this point. And so, like, your brain's just constantly thinking about the next thing you have to do. You don't have, like, days off or weeks off. You couldn't take a vacation if you wanted to. Every once in a while, you do.
I try.
Well, this is... I know this is supposed to be, like, interviewing me or something, right?
Sure. You know? So I mean, you're my guest on the podcast.
But this, over the years of knowing you, this is the pattern that I have observed.
Okay.
Do you mind? Or do you,
no,
would you rather
no.
talk about something
Please.
Else?
No, this is a great way to end the podcast.
This is a pattern that I've noticed. It's like you have all of these obligations that you've created for yourself, mm-hmm. right? With YouTube and with everything else, with the reviews, with the stream, with all that stuff. And then you feel burned out, right? You feel like overwhelmed.
Yes.
And you start talking about, you dance with the idea of quitting everything.
Yes.
You know, when you get to that point.
I have danced with that idea.
I think I'm just going to shut down my YouTube, you know, something like that. And then you're like, no, I can't do that. No, maybe I'll just cut it down to, you know, one review a week and the vlog and that's it. And then you're like, well, maybe I can, and you end up adding a show. Like, instead of your initial plan of, like, cutting back, you literally add an extra thing. And I'm like, whoa. At first, I'm like, dude, that sounds like a great idea. I think you really are doing too much, probably, for one man. Yeah. And then by the end of it, I'm like, okay, this is good. You know, Nick's going to have a little bit more time for himself and, you know, probably improve his mood and everything like that. And then I talk to you, like, 2 weeks later, and you're like, yeah, hey, do you want to be on my new my new thing that I'm doing on Friday mornings, you know, because every day is already booked up. So I decided the AM would be a good idea. And I'm like, dude, what the fuck are you doing, bro?
Yeah, that is a trend that I have. I guess that's a trend that I have. I don't know. You know, I like keeping things fresh and exciting and like new challenges and new things, you know, new things.
Yeah, that's one way to look at it.
I feel stagnant sometimes and, you know.
Or potentially your workaholism could be like many other people's workaholism, where it's just an avoiding of some emotional crisis that's happening, you know? And so you want to continue distracting yourself as much as possible so as to not deal with it and just keep pushing it back on the back burner.
Yeah.
Which is fine, you know.
Look,
a lot of people do it.
I make a point on weekends to not I try to do as little work as possible. Like occasionally it's like I'll have a video to edit or I'll have a podcast to edit or something on the weekends, but I try to spend at least Sunday, the Lord's Day, not doing anything. Either we'll sit on the couch and just browse Reddit or watch a TV show. Like last Sunday, I watched like 16 episodes of The Simpsons, bro. And I did nothing. And
yeah,
I just sat on the couch and watched The Simpsons.
Yeah, but you need something like Simpsons or like Reddit to distract yourself.
Okay, well, what do you want me to do?
From...
Just sit in silence and meditate?
Yeah. You don't have to meditate. Just be bored for a while. Haven't you seen those studies where like just being bored, daydreaming is actually really good for your brain?
No.
If you never let yourself. Yeah, absolutely. That's when like all the fucking insightful thoughts come through and you get real, a true inspiration is during daydreams, dude. That's why I think of the best coil ideas when I'm just sitting there.
Yeah. All right. So.
I mean, it's just an experiment to try.
Kent's advice for the podcast listeners, just daydream every once in a while.
Yeah, set aside like an hour to be bored. Literally let yourself be bored. Because think about when you're bored, what's your mind doing? You know, it's trying to figure out something.
Yeah, it's just kind of wandering all over
the
place.
Latch on to.
Yeah. Look,
yeah.
I've been
and you
bored.
I doubt it. I mean, no one has to be bored anymore.
No.
That's
no
why
one
we've
has to be
traded
bored
all
anymore.
Our privacy, all our privacy and personal information just for something to do, you know?
So we're not bored. I know. And it's like,
yeah.
Did you watch the social thing on Netflix? What's it called? The social fuck.
I saw the trailer.
Yeah, watch it. It's crazy.
Dilemma, I think.
Social dilemma. Yeah, social dilemma. It caused Casey to reevaluate. Like, she puts a lock on her phone for an hour every night now, like from 8 to 9. All her apps except for text messages and phone are locked out. They're like grayed out. So she can't just open Instagram or open Twitter for a full hour. I haven't done that yet.
No, it's an insane psychological experiment we've been doing on ourselves ever since the smartphone was released into the public.
100%.
100%. Yeah, we have no idea the long-term effects on any of this stuff.
No, not at all. And we just didn't even question it. We just... We're like,
no one questioned it.
No,
yeah.
Smartphones, more technology. And like, look, I mean, granted, I don't have kids or anything, but when I see like little kids, just here's an iPad. Just go sit on the couch with your iPad. And I'm like, that can't be good. I feel like that might not be a good idea. You know? Maybe
like
not. Maybe
video game
fine.
Consoles, dude. Video game consoles is one thing, you know? But it was still, I remember that severe locked-in syndrome with video games, you know? I would play for hours.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, me too. I would play for hours, days I would play video games.
But there was a single game, sometimes playing the same exact level with the same predictable occurrences again and again. It's repetitive. Yeah. You're practicing something, you know? With a smartphone, it's literally something that's designed to distract adults and addict them horribly to constantly changing frames of reference. And so when you give that to a kid, I mean, what is that exactly doing to their wiring in their brain? You know, it's like, who knows, man?
Yeah. Well, and it's, you know, it's broken down. I feel like it's broken down communication because, you know, there's so many people now that the only way they communicate is through text messages. That's it. They're just texts to each other. And there's no like human element to it or no like face-to-face conversation. No human interaction. See, that's why I was really on board with VR and now I've decided I'm not going to buy a VR because I don't want to be sucked in to Mark Zuckerberg's fucking virtual and just let my body just, you know, just sit
deteriorate.
And deteriorate while I'm sitting inside of a VR helmet. I have a feeling that's like dystopian future. That's what's coming.
Well, I guess if you just have to look at the companies that are investing in that technology and you can see where they're going to take it, you know.
Well, yeah.
Like Oculus Prime. Yeah. It's called. It's owned by Facebook.
Yeah, I was looking at the Oculus Quest 2 was just released, and it's like dirt cheap. It's like $400. Oculus Quest 2, all-in-one VR, two little paddles, a whole huge library of games, dirt cheap. And I'm thinking, maybe I'll finally get into VR. Like, this is really fun. I've put on VR helmets before. This is fun. And then I learned that with the Oculus Quest 2, in order to operate it, you have to have a Facebook account. Like, you have to link it to your Facebook. Otherwise, it won't work. It just won't. You can't use it. And I think the requirement of having a Facebook account to do VR, that was like a red flag where I went, look, I don't really trust Mark Zuckerberg. I don't really even like Facebook very much. And now to go into VR, you have to have a Facebook. What?
Just wait for the brain implants, dude.
Neuralink.
You can get the VR. Yeah, but luckily that's Elon Musk doing that and not Mark Zuckerberg. You know what I mean?
I trust
him more.
You trust Elon a little bit more?
A lot more. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. But the thing is, like, the other red flag is that this crazy awesome VR thing is only $400.
Yeah.
You know?
$399.
Why? Who knows what information they're stealing from your retina?
Yeah,
you know?
directly from your brain.
Dapping it directly from your brain.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. That's why Samsung TVs, the big screens, so cheap, dude.
Yeah.
I bought a 65-inch for like $1,000 or something.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I did that 2 years ago. I bought a 65-inch Samsung.
Yeah, or less than $1,000. I'm like, why is this so much cheaper than everything else? I get it home, plug it all in, turn it on, and it's this weird network cable starts streaming automatically.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the fuck has advertisements? It's horrible programming. And I'm like, this is my worst nightmare. Why is my TV doing this to me? And like, you can't turn it off.
No, you can't.
It didn't let you turn it off.
Yeah.
I spent 3 hours. I finally found a workaround on how to get it to not come up every time that you turn the television on. But it took me 3 hours with a new TV. I'm like, dude, I don't know. I'm going to buy a Sony TV next time.
Yeah.
I'm just going to pay the extra money.
Well, we never stopped to think, is this something we should be doing? We just did it.
That's true. That is something that I just was like, I've got these credit card gift cards.
Yep.
You know, I'm buying this TV right now.
I did the same thing. My TV's less intrusive than that. Mine has like some ads, but like I go through an Apple TV, so I just go directly to an external HDMI port and I don't have to deal with the Samsung interface at all.
That's one workaround. That's nice.
See, that's why I trust Apple too, because Apple, bro, they're all about, you know, your privacy, your personal data, and security. And that is a huge selling point for me. That's why I run Apple everything.
That's true. But you know what? I heard an interesting take on that.
Mm-hmm.
That is just because that is the cheapest and easiest route to go. Because if they had to design all the back doors and stuff for the government and everything like that, or open it for terrorists, then they'd have to be doing it all the time, and it would be costing them shit tons of money to do that. So it's literally it's a cheaper option for them to quote unquote protect your privacy, when it's definitely not necessarily in every case for the greater good. You know,
if
you
can
stop
their motivations matter. The motivation doesn't matter to me. It's like, well, this car is safer because it's just cheaper if we put airbags in it.
You know? I guess you're right. Yeah.
The motivation doesn't matter. It's secure. They care about your privacy. And Apple warns you, like, you know, do you want to let Instagram see your whole camera roll? And you can go, no, I don't want Instagram to see my whole camera roll. You can adjust these settings on your phone.
Oh, I didn't even know Instagram was doing that shit.
Yeah,
better take off all those dick pics, dude.
Yeah.
No, I don't take any dick pics, mainly because Google automatically syncs everything and then they disappear from my phone. I'm like, dude, they're all my photos are gone. And I
look
on Google
my dick
and
pics?
All on Google.
Yeah. We'll leave some links
Would
in the
like
description
to attach
of
this
podcast.
Dick pic?
Oh, shit.
Sorry, Grandma.
Sorry. It was Google's fault. That was Google's fault. Damn. Well, I guess that's where we're kind of reaching the end of this podcast here. Maybe that's where we'll end
it
with some dick pics.
I just want to say, if I didn't live up to what you or your listeners were expecting,
no expectations, Kent.
I just want to apologize for letting you down. I would say I'll try harder next time, but I barely care at this point.
Kent Hill, thank you for joining me on the sixth episode. Episode six.
Fuck yeah.
Big number.
Here's
six.
To many more, man.
Here's to many
you
more.
You going for the number one spot in a technology Spotify podcasts?
Yeah, although for some reason, I mean, of course I am. Of course. But for some reason on iTunes, when you pull up the Full Grim podcast, it says that my category is government. It says government underneath it. Full Grim podcast.
Automatically?
I don't know. I don't know how to change that. I don't know if that's an option
probably,
I chose that I'd be
talking.
They
probably hear you talking all this shit about Congress all the time, dude.
They're like, oh, government. Government. Maybe that's a warning.
You're
like, government.
Let me tell you about Joe Biden real quick.
Check
yeah,
this. Boom. Government. Well, shit, Kent, thank you for being on my podcast. I really appreciate it. Do you want to plug anything? Where can people find you? Twisted Messes, Instagram?
Dude, all I want people to do is come and look at my fucking coils that I've been building on Instagram. That's all I've been doing this year.
Yeah.
I quit everything.
I've seen it.
All obligations. I said no to everything. The only thing I did this year that I didn't actually want to do was make a Twitter account for you, Nick. Everything else I've done on my own, of my own volition.
And
of my own volition.
Crazy coils.
It's just been coils, dude. It's fucking awesome. So, yeah, if anyone's still listening at this point, which I doubt. Firstly, let me apologize again. Secondly, let me say, go to Instagram, Twisted Messes, and like some of my photos. If you like them, you know, check out those coils. Some of them are pretty crazy.
You know, the other day I was on Instagram and I saw... I was looking because I'm not gaining any followers on Instagram. All I'm doing is losing followers on Instagram. I'm losing followers and subscribers all over the place. But I went to Twisted Messes. And you are smoking me with followers. Smoking me. You're burying me.
I've been smoking you since 2016, Nick. I hate to break it to you.
I know you have, but the gap has furthered even more. The gap is furthered. Well, I feel like I'm going down and you're going up, like we're going in complete opposite directions. I feel like I should be a guest on your podcast.
No, I've stayed stable for 6 months. That's not bad because I was dropping. I used to be at 199.
Did you really?
182 now. Yeah.
Yeah, 182. I used to be at 176 and now I'm at 173.
Yeah, so I've dropped more than you technically.
Technically, yes. But so what? Anyway, one last time. Kent Hill, you know Miss Twisted Messes. Really appreciate you being on the podcast. Everyone go over to Instagram. Give Kent a follow.
No, don't follow me. Just like my photos.
Just like his photos. Don't follow him. Just like
definitely
his photos.
Definitely block. Like my photos and then block me. That's what I want.
Like my photos and block me. Holy shit. Yeah. All right.
Well, thanks for having me on, Nick. I have to pee so bad, dude. The Hydro Homies is coming back to haunt me.
Yeah, go pee. Go do it. Go run and do it.
You know what go pee in Chinese means? It means dog fart.